Once upon a time, in a long time ago, there was two, lived a man called Darth Vader. Podcast that asks you, are you sitting comfortably, sits back in its rocking chair and then gets ready to devour you. We've got all kinds of fun things ready for you this week. I am Ben Vanderveld, I am your host and story master, and I am joined by my friend, co-host and
Story mistress.
I thought that was me.
you
haven't seen my underwear.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Mistress is a funny word, isn't it? It's got a strange sexual overtone.
Yeah. You didn't realise when you were calling like people headmistress back at, when you were a kid.
You were slut shaming.
You were slut shaming.
you don't know about my headmistress's backstory. Detention was trying.
And I am it's the other half of this shambles. I'm Barry Maxday, and leaning in close to the microphone for good effect this week.
Yeah, it's appropriate for this week's.
We're drawn in, everybody. Get cozy, get close.
Yeah, make sure
you're up a bit.
Good lord. Make you've got a nice warm mug and bottle, your comfiest slippers on, are wearing 3 smoking jackets, 17 cravats, 10 monocles, smoking a bubble pipe by a roaring fire, and getting ready for some lovely, lovely stories. Mm. And with us, Barry,
yes,
we have a mighty story mistress.
The mightiest of them all.
Correct. In all uses of that.
Yes, our guest this week is originally from Melbourne in Australia, not Melbourne, Florida, or Melbourne in England. But she now lives and flies her work here in the UK, so that is confusing. She's a radio presenter, a regular at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival every year since 2002, and is the creator of the Storytellers Club, a comedy collective where guests tell true tales by a fake fireside. Yes,
yay,
providing us with our very own happy ending, it's Sarah Bennett.
Oh my god!
You didn't vet that script, did you?
No, I
didn't. I certainly didn't.
So why do you love stories so much rather than just jokes?
Ooh, I love both, but I think stories are a nice way of bringing people in. It's like a nice intimate art form, and it's a nice way of conveying a message that I feel like you're bonding a bit with an audience when you're sharing a story. Like, Ben, you've performed at Storytellers Club very well. I think when Ben has performed at it, and like most comedians who've popped by and done it, will say that it's really interesting because, you see, you'll start your story and you think, here goes, I'm not sure if this will work, but here we go. Because we're accustomed to hearing like laughs every few seconds or chasing laughs every, 10 seconds or whatever. And so this is a different format. You'll start, and certainly there'll be laughs, but you're building to it, and it's a richer reward, I think. Mm. But yeah, so I think people notice when they perform at Storytellers Club is there's like an almost sort of physical thing that happens over the whole audience. They lean in.
Yeah.
I love that. People clasping their glass of wine close.
I think that's what Sheryl Sandberg wanted with her book.
She just wanted
people to tell stories, not get really like aggressive in business.
Yeah, I should just meant, Bovril and Fireside Chats.
God, you take this way out of context.
Oh God, back up a bit.
Well, we always ask our guests on the show what they are the worst at in the world, and when I said that to you, you said pretty much everything.
Yeah, there's loads I could throw in here. Worst at being on time, as this is our second attempt at recording this podcast. Last week went haywire. Yeah. Doolally, a calendar mix-up on my part. And then this week, I left my purse in a Boots pharmacy and was, I believe, 1 hour late to record the podcast. More than
30 minutes. 35 minutes.
You're good people. Very bad at being on time. Sorry, everybody. You know what would be really fun? When you put this podcast out, like, say you're about to announce it, then delay it by 30 minutes. Just because it's
banana. I like that you think that our listeners are going to be sat there with their fingers on the button. It's 30 minutes later.
Sarah, banana.
Or we release it with all of our bits. And then your bit was a half hour gap of silence in the podcast. And then your bit's like a hidden track at the end.
We haven't just asked Sarah here for any old story. We've asked her to find the definitive world's worst story or world's worst fairy tale. So this, I think, is a pretty broad church of stories. And Barry, you're going to go first. What's the worst fairy tales you've found?
Oh my god, so many. Firstly, a lot of people know this already. It's quite well known that a lot of the original versions of
the Disney fairy tales that we all think we know are much darker than the ones that you see on big screen. A lot of the Grimm's books, the Grimm's fairy tales, are even darker than we think they were originally. The first volumes of the Grimm's were published in 1815, the two volumes called The Children and Household Tales. And they didn't write the stories themselves. They were collecting oral tales from around Germany, around Europe. So it wasn't stories that they had made up. But then they got kind of popular. So 4 years later, in 1819, they released the second edition, which was already cleaner and becoming more accessible and less terrifying. So they were, even at that stage, they were cleansing their own versions of the stories.
It feels like the difference between original Japanese horror movies and the American remakes.
Yes, yes. And like when, you know, were the original Grimm fairy tales for children? Or told, like,
I think they were just stories that people told, because storytelling was the big entertainment at the time. Mm-hmm. So children might have listened to them, but they weren't aimed specifically just at children. And they have a weird mix of some morality tales and some weird repetitious stories and some that are just odd and have you can't really see any learning points.
what's really weird in them, because you said stories were popular at the time. Stories have always been popular. And, you know, obviously film and TV are about storytelling, but very simple one man or woman telling a story to a group has existed for thousands of years.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's peculiar that even though there's some weird stuff in mythology, that there's something about Grimm's fairy tales and some other fairy tales we might talk about that is particularly fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I might give a couple of examples of different versions of famous stories that people will know.
Right.
So, for example, Cinderella. A lot of people, the version of Cinderella that most people know, in the very much Disney version, is from Charles Perrault, who's another collector of stories, a French guy in the 17th century. He wrote a book called Tales of My Mother Goose. So that's where Mother Goose comes from. My mother something was basically any phrase for a country old woman. So, my mother Vanderbilt, or mother Veneto, or mother Goose. His version of Cinderella is the famous one. There's an earlier version. It seems that maybe the earliest version of it is it's collected by an Italian guy called Gian Battista Basile, who collected this. But he has to say it like that.
That's my most favourite pasta. It's casual racism.
his story of Cinderella was called Zezola. And Zezola wishes her governess, there's a few differences in the story, the main one being that she wants her governess, Carmosina, to be her mother. She doesn't like her own mother, she wants Carmosina to be her mother. And so Carmosina convinces her to crush her mother's neck in a dress trunk.
Wow!
Yeah, Carmosina says, well, ask your mother to get a dress out of the trunk, and when she's leaning into the trunk, slam the lid on her head. That's the start of the story. Because then it's the governess who then marries her dad, and she becomes, if you like, the evil stepmother in the story.
Oh, that doesn't really make Cinderella a particularly sympathetic character.
No, not very much. You sort of go the whole time, because her governess moves in, she turns out she has six daughters, and she gives all of her attention to them, and Zezola falls out of favor, and she wishes on a tree to give her all the stuff that then comes to her. And the whole way through it, you're going, I don't really want you to win. I don't feel like you deserve any of this stuff.
Yeah, it's a little bit like watching Superman and discovering that he uses his X-ray vision to perv on people.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Grimm's version of that is called Aschkotel. A lot of people know this one. The sisters, in order to try and fit their feet into the slippers, cut off their heels and toes.
Whoa.
To try and make their feet smaller. Yeah.
So people talk about that coming from, was it Chinese sort of culture, they believe it might have been. It was
binding,
about binding, foot binding.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that it was a preferred thing to have smaller feet.
Yeah.
So, like, it was a point of beauty, I suppose.
Yeah, you were meant to be dainty. Like, having smaller waistlines became smaller feet at the time.
Yeah, so really Cinderella naturally fitting into the heel meant, she's naturally minuscule. Which is a little, like, infantilizing and creepy, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Is that because that there was a big fashion for Orientalism at that time as well? Is that where it came from?
Or was the story written there and then taken back over to Europe?
Well, by that time, I mean, trading with the East would have been very extensive by that stage, so yeah, I can imagine it had reached Europe in that sense.
Of course, the difference being is that in China they would have gone, women should have small feet that should be crushed and bound, and other Chinese people would go, yeah, of course. And this Italian dude brings back over to Europe and go, here's a fucking freaky thing the Chinese are doing.
I also found the ending of Perrault's version of Red Riding Hood. The Red Riding Hood actually eats her grandmother with the wolf before the wolf eats her. So she arrives, and the wolf dressed as Granny has cooked a meal for her. And it's her grandmother that she ends up eating before the wolf then goes, and it's me! And eats her as well.
That's a proper Halloween-y story. It's terrifying.
There's a lot of cannibalism in a lot of these stories.
Loads of it. I'm sure there's one where the wolf has a little bit of sexy time with Red Riding Hood as well.
May well do. Well, that the moral, Perrault has a moral in it, and it's basically, he very much stands out that this isn't a... Not all wolves are wolves. Wolves can sometimes be men, and men sometimes prey, and you go, yeah, we get it, Charles, we get it.
All right. I thought you were going to go hashtag not all wolves.
Nice. In my research for this show, I came across the term seeing the wolf. Or they used to say, like, a girl had seen the wolf, and that meant she had sex.
Yes.
So I think there is a thing about, I think it's losing your virginity was seeing the wolf.
I adore that, and also gives me a very different perspective on gladiators.
He said, unfortunately, it's the gentle wolves who are the most dangerous ones of all. So the big thing about dark horses. Mm. Yeah,
dark horses who are pretending to be wolves in sheep's clothing dressed as grandmothers.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's really confusing.
it's like that Tumblr, Nice Guys of OK Cupid. I don't know if you've seen that. Men who profess to be nice, but they're really a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Oh.
And they want to get in your clothing and do wolf things to you.
God, eat your granny with you.
I mean, I tell you what, this certainly puts in a new light every time I've been at a nightclub and a guy has come up to me and said, would you like to see the wolf? I mean, that is totally different now. Like, guys, you get that, right? That's a common thing.
Oh, yeah, I go up to guys and I say, and what big teeth you've got? No, thanks.
They look far too sharp.
Speaking of sexy times, Basile's version of Sleeping Beauty was called Talia. And there's a line in it where... she does not get woken by a kiss in Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, no.
The prince, as he tried to wake her, she seemed so incredibly lovely that he began to grow hot with lust. And he has sex with her while she is asleep, and she doesn't wake up until 9 months later when she's giving birth to twins, and that's the thing that makes her wake up.
Oh.
Yeah.
You want it? Yeah, she'd be like, hey, thanks.
By the way,
I'm out of a coma, but what happened? bad things happened, I think.
No, she falls in love with him because she's got his kids all of a sudden. He is still married.
Stockholm syndrome.
He is still married.
Oh, great guy. Great guy.
So his wife, I think he's actually a king in this story around the prince, his wife tries to have the king eat the kids. So she writes a letter to Talia saying, oh, I'm the king writing to you. I want to see my children. Please send them to the castle and you can follow them in a few days. And so she sends the kids to the castle. The mum gives the kids to the queen, gives the kids to a cook, and tells the cook to chop up these children and make a pie, please. Which is a weird
stuff. So much cannibalism.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
But then the cook hides them, doesn't cook them, gives them something else. Then she tries to burn Talia on a fire when Talia arrives and the king shoves the queen into the fire instead and ties them up. It's really vicious, some of these. And you go, hang on, you are the one who, you are married to this woman, and you went up, raped a woman in a glass bed in the woods.
Yep.
And then she shows up, and the queen is the bad guy in all of this?
To be fair, she was looking beautifully lovely.
Yeah.
And so
and available.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she was asking for it in that lovely set of pajamas.
She was sleeping like she was asking for it.
Yeah.
You know how computer games and video nasties are always blamed for the worst crimes of humanity?
Yes.
Were fairy tales blamed for similar things?
I don't know, but interestingly, you should say that then.
Okay.
I have a fairy tale which is basically blaming people for imitative behaviour. So this is one of the Grimm's story. This is one of my ideas for one of my suggestions for the worst fairy tale, and it's called. It's got a really cheery name. How Some Children Played at Slaughtering.
Yes! Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, my days.
Can I just add to that? It sounds even better in German.
Oh, yes, go on.
Wie Kinder schlachten mit Heinde gespielt haben.
It's got a chill.
Yeah. A lovely tale for little people.
I feel every listener suddenly leaning out.
Leaving you out.
So this is it's a short enough story that I can actually read you the whole thing. There once was a father gathering close children. There once was a father who slaughtered a pig, and his children saw that. In the afternoon, when they began playing, one child said to the other, "You be the little pig and I'll be the butcher."
Oh.
Yeah. He then took a shiny knife and slit his little brother's throat. Their mother was upstairs in a room bathing another child, and when she heard the cries of her son, she immediately ran downstairs. Upon seeing what had happened, she took the knife out of her son's throat and was so enraged that she stabbed the heart of the other boy who'd been playing the butcher. Then she quickly ran back to the room to tend to her child in the bathtub, but while she was gone, he had drowned in the tub. Now the woman became so frightened and desperate that she did not allow the neighbours to comfort her, and finally hung herself. When her husband came back from the fields and saw everything, he became so despondent he died soon after. The end.
For more news, turn to page 12 of the Daily Express.
There is another version of that where the boy kills his brother, and then there's a trial in the village, and there's something where they offer him, if he picks the money, he's guilty, and if he picks an apple, he's an innocent boy. If he picks the apple, he skips off in town, let him off free. But the basic message in it is children should be careful of copying what grown-ups do.
That's a fair point, yeah. At least you can see what the message is in that morality tale.
Yeah.
Because some of these fairy tales, it is very unclear what they're going for. But I tell you what, generally, as a genre, broadly fairy tales were all about negative reinforcement. None of that positive reinforcement, none of the dangling the carrot. This was just really bad things are out there, avoid at all costs. You better not be a dickhead. Can we say dickhead on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
There's another great story called The Story of the Youth Who Went Forth to Learn What Fear Was.
Yeah, Dibs not being the youth in that story.
Yeah.
Or a mum. Like, have you noticed in all fairy tales, mums just die. Evil stepmums replace them, and everyone has a really hard time. So either in these fairy tales, you are like a hallowed, wonderful, you know, mum who perishes and leaves her kids orphaned, or you know, or the husband remarries. Or you are a stepmom, which is evil. So it's not great for adult women. You're either non-existent.
Interestingly enough, a lot of the earlier versions, it is mums who are evil, and they turn them into stepmoms in later versions of them to try and go, oh, the mums are okay. It's the whole outsider woman coming in that's the dangerous thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful comedian, Wendy Wason, who we all know, and I remember she at Storytellers Club told an amazing story about something that happened at home with her little daughter Bella, who was very young at the time. She found Bella crying in her bedroom, and she said, "What's wrong, Bella?" And Bella said, "Mommy, please don't die." And she said, "What do you mean, Bella? I'm not going to die." And she goes, "Yes, you will." And she said, "What?" And after some coaxing, she got it out of Bella, and Bella said, "In all the stories, the mummies die." And she went through all the fairy tales, Snow White, all the books. Your mum is going to know.
It's the rule of Disney. A parent, they're either orphans or a parent is going to die during the film.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, reading all these stories, either they've got positive or negative, mostly negative reinforcement, I managed to find maybe the dullest non sequitur of a story I've ever come across. It is called The Golden Key. It's another Grimm's fairy tale story. It's about 10 lines long. And see if you can spot the message in this story, guys. In the wintertime, when deep snow lay on the ground, the poor boy was forced to go out on a sledge to fetch wood. When he had gathered it together and packed it, he wished, as he was so frozen with cold, not to go home at once, but to light a fire and warm himself a little. So he scraped away the snow, and as he was thus clearing the ground, he found a tiny gold key. Hereupon he thought, where the key was, the lock must be also, and dug in the ground and found an iron chest. If the key does but fit it, thought he, no doubt there are precious things in that little box. He searched, but no keyhole was there. At last he discovered one, but so small that it was hardly visible. He tried it and the key fitted it exactly. Then he turned it once round, and now we must wait until he has quite unlocked it and opened the lid, and then we shall learn what wonderful things were lying in that box. The end.
Oh my days!
So they've basically written a fairy tale version of Waiting for Godot.
Yeah, that is exactly what they've done.
Schrodinger's or Seven. What's in the bus?
Yeah.
Is it Gwyneth Paltrow's head?
No, it's his mother's head. Obviously, it's his mother's head.
Yeah. And then he turned around because he heard a sound, and it was his stepmother. Wow. Also, like, really boring and, like, red herring bits of suspense in that.
Very much feels
like he searched for a lock, couldn't find a lock. Then he found a lock.
Yeah.
Like, just delete
if
those
it's
two
so
sentences.
Cold, do you think, oh, there's a bit of peril, but he's going to light a fire. Okay. And then, then he's going to find something and there's key, but there's no, where's the lock? Oh, no, the lock's right. Fucking! It's like them releasing Go Set a Watchman. I bet this was like, it was Harper Lee was working on something. The Grimms were working on this idea, maybe that he's going to open it and eventually climb it to be the center of the earth he'd go to or something like that. But no, guys, we've got a deadline. We've got to get this story out right now. Fuck it. Doesn't have an ending. Who cares? You're the Grimms. They'll just read it. They laugh up any of this shit.
Well, it might just have been, like, you know, those films where really dull stuff happens and then the camera just moves over to the right. And then you go, oh, fuck it, there's Snow White. Right, now we start.
Oh, so you think that on the way through the forest, Snow White passes this guy?
Yeah.
He's just an extra in the background.
Actually, yeah, that's about what it's just texture.
That's all
it is.
Okay, so we're messing.
Coming back to the evil women motif, it seems to be so very common, and they are evil women. I mean, I think we can take that as fact.
Yep, there are some.
Yep. Also, witches, a lot of witches. Hansel and Gretel, fairy tale. Like, women are pretty evil, I think.
I'm trying to think of an evil male antagonist.
There's a lot of passive men who remarry an evil stepwife. Passively just let their kids be tortured by their stepmother.
Yeah. I mean, if we are going to try and psychoanalyze this, then if you ignore the evil women, the idea of men being passive and bad things happening, all that happens quite a lot in history.
I've got one last thing about evil men.
Okay.
This is a story called Herr Corbez. There's a lot of build-up. It's very repetitive. It's basically a rooster and a hen go on a journey in a carriage and it's pulled by mice and they're going to Herr Corbis's house. And on the way, they pick up a cat, a millstone, an egg, a duck, a pin, and a needle.
Just the basics.
Hang on. This is one of those logic problems. It's how can you...
How do you get the bottle or did you pin the cart? Anyway, this is the ending of the story. And you go, oh, a lot of bad stuff happens to women. Listen to what happens in this. When they arrived at Herr Corbis's house, he was not there. The mice pulled the carriage into the barn, the hen and the rooster flew onto a pole, the cat sat down in the fireplace and the duck in the water bucket, the egg rolled itself up into a towel, the pin stuck itself into a pin cushion, the needle jumped onto the bed in the middle of the pillow, the millstone lay down above the door. Sound like Home Alone? Yeah. Then Herr Corbis came home. He went to the fireplace wanting to make a fire, and the cat threw ashes in his face. He ran quickly into the kitchen to wash himself, and the duck splashed water into his face. He wanted to dry himself with a towel, but the egg rolled against him, broke, and glued his eyes shut. Oh. Wanting to rest, he sat down in the chair, and the pin pricked him. He fell into a rage and threw himself onto his bed, but when he laid his head on the pillow, the needle pricked him, causing him to scream and run out of the house. As he ran through the front door, the millstone jumped down and struck him dead. Herr Corbis must have been a very wicked man. We don't have any explanation.
No.
They're just going to Herr Corbis and you go, oh, this sounds like Herr Corbis has got some sort of fun party lined up for weird creatures and inanimate objects.
I don't like the whole must have been. This feels like no due process has occurred in this story.
I'm Catholic, so I'm kind of like thinking that just sounds like original sin to me. Either he or his parents were... You know, bastards. So I'm just going to take it as red. Yeah, fine. Yeah, kill him.
All right.
Kill him. Torture.
Bad things
and
happen
kill.
To bad people for a
it's
reason.
True. Yeah.
But yes, I'm picking the first one, which was the Golden Key as my worst.
The Golden Key. So you're picking the Golden Key because it's just full of dull non sequiturs.
Because it's not a story. It's in a collection of stories, and it fails to be a story on most levels. There's not... A woman doesn't die in it, guys. That's what I'm...
Sarah, hit us up. What is your world's worst fairy tale?
Mine is along the same lines as Barry's because it is... I struggle to find the moral or the meaning. If you revisit Goldilocks and the Three Bears as an adult, What the heck is going on there? Right, so...
It's always the last place you look. That's the moral.
Yes, very true. Strong message in this, yeah. So useful for writers. So just to catch you up if you don't remember, or you've been living under a rock in a forest. So there is a young girl, Goldilocks. We assume she's white, because Goldilocks.
or an albino who lives in the forest.
Sure.
She's walking through the forest, comes across a little cottage, knocks on the door, no one answers. So what does she do? Go away, go home to safety? No, she just goes in. She helps herself to porridge on the table. So there's three bowls of porridge. One is too hot, one is too cold, one is just right. So she finishes it. And then she sits in a chair. The first one's too big, the second one's too big. And the third one is a tiny chair, and it's a chair. That's right.
I'm already judging her for not sitting while eating her porridge.
Yeah, that's weird. That means she stood up.
Unless the players had a breakfast bar.
Meg had a breakfast bar, so she goes to a breakfast bar. Right. And then she comes across a bed. And the first one, a room full of beds, sorry, upstairs. First one is too hard, second one is too soft, and the third one is just right.
Mm.
So she gets in and snuggles down. Fine. Cut to the people who live in the all the bears who live in the house. They come home, they discover that their porridge has been eaten, or, you know, messed with, and then the final bowl has been eaten. Chair, now this is interesting. First chair looks like it's been sat in. The second chair looks like it's been sat in, and the third chair has been broken. In a fairy tale, she broke it. Like,
even though it's just right.
Yeah, it was just right for me to shatter it. Like, how big is your butt, Goldilocks?
How big is she compared to a bear?
Yeah, what is she sitting in? It's like, yeah.
I just realised what Goldilocks is all about, because she comes into a house that is not hers, she abuses the hospitality, she eats the food, she takes it over. It's about gentrification, isn't it, guys?
It's so true, oh my god. Well, and then this is the interesting ending to Goldilocks.
She couldn't find the serial killer cafe, which is why she was looking for
nice. She's like, oh my god, this doesn't even seem interesting. Oh my god, I thought they were going to at least do something with like sprinkles or something. I'm like, oh my god, where's my toy? the ending to Goldilocks is very interesting too, because you go, okay, what they're going to do is they're going to reveal the moral. Here we go. The penny will drop when they tell me the ending. The ending is, the bears go upstairs. The first bed looks like it's been slept in. The second one looks like it's been slept in. The third one, someone's asleep in my bed. She's still there right now. Goldilocks wakes up, sees the bears, screams, and runs out into the woods. The end. That's the end. She runs away into the woods.
Yeah.
So
she doesn't have to suffer for her actions.
She doesn't suffer for her actions. I think what we've learnt there is, I think Ben's onto something there. I think it is about white girl entitlement.
Yeah.
Just walk in, take what I like, eat what I like, sit in everything.
She's wearing a t-shirt saying all lives matter, if you can imagine.
Yes, yes, so Goldilocks.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that some of her best friends are bears.
Yeah, it's so difficult. And when you say bears, where in the original text was it? Hairy gay guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Living in some kind of three-way polyamorous friendship, lover. I don't know.
Who's been sleeping in my sling?
Because there's also the story of Goldilocks and the three otters, Goldilocks and the three twinks.
In another way, Goldilocks is like a reverse Home Alone.
Yeah.
Like, the kid comes in, trashes the joint, steals stuff, and then runs away, you know, is fearful of the, you know, rightful homeowners when they come home and go, dude, what the heck is happening in my house? Ah! And then run away. It's like, how dare she be shocked as well? It's like, this is their safe space.
They needed to get all the weapons from Herr Korbes. Never leave your house.
Oh.
Do you think Herr Korbes was Goldilocks' dad?
Hey!
Oh, she's Goldilocks' Korbes.
That's it.
Well, this is an important thing, because you know that people love to write those long articles on the internet about how all of the Pixar movies take place in the same world.
Yeah.
Maybe all fairy tales
all
take place in
the
same world. Yeah.
I like that theory.
Goldilocks, I think, I'm not sure, and as a kid, I don't remember this story playing her as the bad guy. It's very hard to read that back and go, she's a good guy. She is an incredibly entitled young lady. And I really do struggle to find a message. I think it's along the lines of your golden key. It is a pointless fairy tale where everyone knows this. It's sort of ingrained in my muscle memory. I remember this, and like everyone you talk to, oh yeah, God, that's the three bears.
Yeah.
But why did we learn that? Why were we taught that?
Yeah, it feels like a first draft.
Yeah, it feels like a first draft. And I feel it feels like maybe it was there to teach us about porridge. That's my first memory. My first memory of hearing about what is porridge?
Yeah, it was a lot more porridge when you were a kid, wasn't it?
What, is there like an epilogue all about Goldilocks' excellent bowel movements afterwards?
Yes, and very crispy.
Goldilocks would totally be doing ads for Activia.
And
having drinks with friends and then making awkward faces and having
And Goldilocks remained regular ever after.
Are you feeling sluggish? Walk into the woods, break into a house, and eat some earth swine.
Cool. So you've gone for Goldilocks, which has slight slightly more plot than Barry.
So much plot, but no meaning. Like, there's still no... There's the ending that we know and love, that, you know, I know there are other versions of the ending. There is no moral to be taken from that.
You've made it the Dan Brown of fairy tales. So much plot, but no meaning.
I feel like they're definitely stalling for time with that story. They're going... I started telling the story. I gotta come up with an answer. There's three beds she has to try.
And then
the bears came back. Yeah. And everyone's going, yes. Yeah. He's going, and then she runs away.
Yeah.
And then another day, and then the next day, Goldilocks is, you know, what about the bear story? Yeah. I haven't finished that.
Barry, is there something you're not telling us? What's in the wardrobe you're standing in front of? Nothing. No. Oh my god, what's that sound? Nothing. And then Goldilocks, she did something else.
The bears are like, oh gosh, you didn't find our porn.
I've got a couple of stories that mix both the fucking pointlessness of Goldilocks and the bloodthirstiness of some of the tales that Barry told us about. First up, there's another one by Giambita Basile. One thing to say, and this is me being an unbelievable child. He is, well, first thing to say with him, one of his books was turned into the film The Tale of Tales.
Yes.
Which I was really looking forward to because it had an amazing cast and I thought it was going to be very Tim Burton-y. And it was one of the dullest 2.5 hours I'd ever spent in the cinema.
Was it based on a fairy tale that was like, and then Barry's fairy tale, and then something else happened. Come on, moving along. Yeah, in a minute. And then they had porridge. Really, porridge of all the things he could have chosen. The most boring breakfast food there is. And then, wait. We're still on the porridge, yeah.
Chairs next.
Ooh, spice it up with some chairs.
Maybe I'll put on some stools just so we're in danger. I call stools danger chairs because I've only got three legs, guys. Deal with it.
Danger chairs. So, anyway, he made Tale of Tales. The Italian translation for Tale of Tales is Le Cunto de la Cunti Overo.
Come on now.
No way.
Yes way.
Please tell me it's spelled how I think it's spelled.
Oh, yes.
Is this where we got that word from?
Don't think so. Well, no, that'd be weird if the word cunt meant tail.
Cunt definitely sounds like early English.
Well, it
Viking.
Yeah, it's definitely not Italian. I think it's just a homonym, and I think I'm only saying it just because the film annoyed me so much. But there's another of his strange tales called Verde Prato, which means green rat. and it is married to an Italian. It's about a prince and a princess, and they fall in love, but the prince is not allowed to visit the princess.
Shocker.
And so he builds an underground glass tunnel to enter her.
Finish that sentence.
Enter her
cunt
of the country.
Oh, what nice teeth you have. Oh dear.
to enter her dwelling. That doesn't make
any
sense.
Never call it her dwelling, Ben. That is not cool. Like, that is instant divorce.
That's like she's living inside herself.
The inside. I've already made this a far more interesting story than it is. No, it's not that it's dull, it's just super fucked up, and you're making it more fucked up. So, underground glass tunnel, as you do, very practical. He decides, I'm going to visit the princess one day, but he decides he's going to do it butt naked. Because, you know, if you dream about having a midnight visitor who's going to come and seduce you, what you're expecting is the man from Belmonte, the milk train man to turn up, tackle out, rather than in full balaclava.
This one doesn't have a soft centre.
No, I still like a bit of mystery, just some... jocks, some pants, and some socks would be nice.
Yeah, some pants, some pants around your balls.
And a tie.
Yeah.
Just an erroneous tie. What is he doing? An incongruous tie. Yeah. What is he doing? Yeah, where's something, man?
Was he sliding along this tunnel?
Well, here's the problem.
What's the slippery size?
Well, no, that's the first thing, because actually, no, I was going to say, not that I've ever slid along a glass tunnel naked before, but imagine there's going to be some friction. It was more like squeak, ka-clunk, squeak. some evil sisters who the princess has, they smash up the tunnel. And so the guy, as he's crawling through it, he gets cut to ribbons.
His father
rescues him and says, whoever heals the wounds of my son will get his hand in marriage. Now, as everyone knows, guys, do you want to know how to heal wounds?
It's going to be something gross.
Take them to a hospital.
That would be sensible, wouldn't it? But no, what you need is a bit of ogre fat.
Ogre fat? The fat of an ogre?
Yeah. So the princess hears that and she goes, right, I know where some ogres live. So she pops out into the forest. She gets an ogre drunk until it falls asleep. She then disguises herself with dirt on her face to disguise herself as an ogre, or, you know, basically blacking up.
Yeah.
And then goes in there, slaughters the ogre, steals it. This innocent forest-dwelling creature steals its fat, comes back, rubs the ogre fat all over her beloved's lacerated body. He is healed, and they live happily ever after.
Is he still naked?
He's a naturist.
He's got a mirror sticking out of his midriff.
But he's wearing an attire, which I like.
Looks like she was capable enough to go slaughter an ogre, but she couldn't escape from a tower.
And go and just hang out with her dude.
Yeah.
You're right. The narrative thread of this story is really odd.
Yeah, I didn't know who we're meant to be following in that one. But look, the Italians do have some weird... There's another contemporary of Battista Basile called Giovanni Straparola.
Uh-huh. Come on now.
His book may be the first storybook in Europe. And it included about 74 tales, including versions of Puss in Boots and Cinderella. But the book was called The Facetious Knights of Straparola, yes. Which is my favourite title.
Instead of 1001 Arabian Nights, The Facetious Knights.
the very impish knight. He's so naughty.
This is the second night. I don't know. It's
Oh, stop it. No.
I'm going to tell you a story, or maybe I won't. Who knows?
Oh, he's so facetious.
They all lived happily ever after. Maybe. Or maybe it ended in divorce.
I imagine you got thrown out of the court pretty quickly. Like you're a dick, Straparola. So I'm not. There's quite a few other like incredibly messed up stories. He's got another one about someone getting impregnated by a snake, and it's full of death and suicide, baby eating, and all that.
Don't have kids.
Have snakes. Mm. The one I'm gonna pick is a story called Clever Hands, which is obviously based on the character from Peep Show. And it does involve Hansel and Gretel. So basically, Hansel is in love with Gretel, and Hansel is a fucking idiot.
I thought they were brother and sister.
No, not in this one he's not. So basically, he has on his person a needle, a knife, a goat, a leg of ham.
He's a goat on his person.
A goat is, just wait.
A pocket goat.
A pocket, yeah. a calf. And there's the
we've all got a calf then.
Well, yeah.
Don't say millstone, don't say egg. I know how this plays out.
there's none of those. And he's also hanging out with his lady. The story plays out a little bit like the Two Ronnie sketch where he answers the question after. Yes. So he's got the needle and he puts the needle in a haystack. Oh, what a fool. And his mum goes, no, you're meant to put your needle in your sleeve. So instead, he puts the knife in his sleeve and stabs himself. Then he's got the goat, and the goat, which he's clearly meant to slaughter with the knife. The goat, he's meant to put the knife in his pocket for some reason rather than in his sleeve.
Right.
So instead, he puts the goat in his pocket, thus smothering the goat. I don't know how big the goat is or how big his pocket is. Mm. Next is the ham. He's meant to put the goat on a rope to lead it to market, but instead, he puts a dead pig's leg on a rope and walks it behind him like a twat. And loads of dogs sort of walk after him and eat the ham.
That has happened to me so many times. I just need to stop drinking.
Yeah. Walking the ham, another bad euphemism. Yeah.
Next, you've got the calf. Calf, obviously, he is meant to type in the stable, but instead he puts it on his head like he's meant to do with the ham. I don't really know what happens to the calf. At this point, I sort of lost track of it at that point. And last of all, there is his missus, who he is meant to marry and love and cherish and adore. Instead, he does what he should do with the car, which is to tie her up in the stable. Now, at this point, you'd think, listen, this guy is an absolute moron. He's injured himself. He's lost his dinner. He's killed a goat. Maybe that's the end of it. No, because his mum comes along and goes, Hansel, you're an idiot. What are you meant to do? You've got to cast your adoring eyes on your bride. And he takes her a little bit too literally and gouges out his own eyes.
Hansel.
And throws them at his missus.
He didn't deserve to live.
No. And the story ends with, and that's how he lost his bride. No shit.
Really? Yeah. I'm not sure how on board she would have been right up to that point.
Maybe he was super rich and that's why she was like, sure, I'll marry you. And like, oh god, it's going to be boring, but yeah,
bonkers.
Tedious. Yeah, this is going to be a weird life. But, days.
But it was just because at least with all the other fairy tales, like, because I sort of looked at all the weird sick puppy fairy tales, there was a gothic element to them, which I quite enjoyed. It's quite nice to explore that, but this was just...
The truth, the Pied Piper of Hamelin might be based on a true story. They're not entirely... The town of Hamelin has a stained glass window which dates from around 1300, and they're a councillor. And in the year 1384, there's a note in the town records, or there's some plaque or something. I think it says on the stained glass window, actually. It says, it is 100 years since our children left. It says in the town chronicle, in fact. It says 100 years since our children left. I don't know whether it's due to disease, whether it was due to murders, whether they were children
left
who went
is
off.
An interestingly passive word.
Yeah.
Not were killed or.
Well, because there was a children's crusade, but it's probably a bit too late for that to have been.
What was the children's crusade?
It's called the children's crusade. That's what makes it think it's going to be young kids. It's basically teenage boys and farmhands who head off to try and join crusades, and a lot of them didn't get. So they arrived at a port city and there were no boats to take them to the Holy Land. So they end up begging on the streets of these ports around Europe.
Okay.
There is a theory that he may have been a pedophile. Pied Piper was a real and a pedophile, or some crazy local nobleman who would hire kids to be servants and kill them. There's all sorts of things about what might be. Yeah, they think that's based on some sort of true event, which sounds absolutely horrific.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that, like, because they're sort of in our distant foggy memory, fairy tales, but they must leave some kind of, you don't think you recall them all with all the details, but they do come back to you. They leave some sort of mark.
I genuinely had nightmares about wolves when I was a kid.
Oh.
There are no wolves in
when we say wolves.
Yeah, about sexy old.
I have to pick the world's worst fairy tale. Is it The Golden Key, Barry's choice? Is it Goldilocks and the Three Bears? Is it my choice of Clever Hans? Or is it the Book of Genesis? right, let's go. So basically, this is interesting, the choices we've got, because we've either got something that almost doesn't fulfil the requirements of a story.
True.
Because you've got, it basically, it's beginning, middle, and then leaves you constantly hanging in the air going, and then?
It's very much the coitus interruptus of the Grimm's fairy
tales. We've got Goldilocks and the Three Bears, I'm glad it's a classic, with a really unsympathetic heroine. And we're going to go with the classic version where she doesn't get eaten, because that's just really disappointing.
She just runs off into the forest, which is very much the she woke up and it was all a dream kind of ending to that story.
Yeah,
like, reason, I mean, that's a bit pathetic.
The reason Disney haven't done that one yet.
we've got mine of Clever Hans, ironically spoken, using a really old comic technique, really clumsily. And then what really annoys me in Clever Hans is the self-harm.
Oh yeah.
In it, because if there's an evil stepmother or an evil king who chops people's heads off and steals their innards and makes them in the pie, yeah, people are bad. But when you self-harm because you're an idiot, it's really hard to be sympathetic.
Yeah, that's interesting. I also find in that story, you know, him dragging the ham, I find dragging the ham really brings the wolves to the backyard. That's what I find.
My drag ham brings all the wolves to the yard. Oh, this is really odd.
Yeah.
I don't like... Also, because I feel like I've got quite a record of picking my own stuff.
Go for it if you want it.
I feel like the gore of yours might be the winner. It's so gory, and it's
and it,
so...
And it kind of encapsulates a lot of those terrible fairy tales.
The other thing as well is we're gunning for him to be killed.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, that story, and I'm like, just do it, mate. Yeah. Just gouge your eyes out. Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Which also, because it goes on, unlike my story, it goes on far too long.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
And it's a bit Oedipal in that sort of brooches gouging out your own eyes thing. Ooh, yeah. I wonder if there's an Oedipus thing.
Oh, there must be. Because yours, Barry, is...
Oedipus in boots. Sorry. I told myself I wouldn't do a pun today.
You've been very good. We've recorded for almost 2.5 hours. You've not done a pun. That means I'm definitely not choosing yours.
Yeah, that's true. I've done my luck in there.
Yeah, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It's too iconic to suggest it's the worst fairy tale in the world.
Why is it iconic, though, then? That's why I bring it to you. Why is that a hallowed fairy tale? It's so full of non sequiturs and sort of...
It's a hallowed
fairy tale. Incongruous detail.
For the same reason that Spice World sold so many copies...
I mean, I guess the merch for Goldilocks is porridge, isn't it?
Yeah,
Oh my god, the porridge sales really rocketed after Goldilocks.
Exactly, yeah, I'm a bit like, and that worked for me. I'm a big fan of porridge, big fan of bears.
you should get a t-shirt.
I should get a
t-shirt.
Big fan of porridge, big fan of bears.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Clever Hans because he annoys me so much. And there's also echoes of your Home Alone one.
Yeah, Corbin, Corbez.
Yeah, so...
Oh, it's similar to loads of them.
Yeah. It should, yeah. So, ladies and gents, if you're trying to lull your little ones to sleep, please do read them this one because the kids will probably go, I'm done now, and fall asleep. Before we finish, I've just time to give you the world's worst news story this week. This is really sad.
Oh, no.
This is a story from Guangzhou in China.
It's a favourite place. America and China are favourite places of ours to go for these stories.
Yes, they are, because in China, literally anything can happen because there are so many people, and in America, literally anything can happen because it's all...
Democracy.
There's democracy, which is a quaint idea that won't be around for much longer. In Guangzhou, there is a shopping mall. There's someone called Pizza.
In that pizza.
Pizza is the world's saddest polar bear.
No!
I've seen this!
Yeah.
And there's a petition to release Pizza.
He's in a shopping mall.
He's in a shopping mall. They're based inside the shopping mall. There was this whole, like, sort of aquatic... park that also includes a beluga, walrus calves, wolves, and Arctic foxes.
I weirdly am in.
Yeah. Also, I wasn't sure whether that second part was what's on display there or what's on the menu. It's very hard to tell in China. So the good news is that pizza is being...
It's called pizza. It's so bad.
It's horrible. It feels like weird cultural appropriation in quite a tasteless way. His holding pen is being cleaned and it is being refurbished, and someone from like a pro releasing pizza group in China went, at last, Pizza will feel the sun on his back, the air through his hair, and see the true blue sky. And Wang Junwol went, yeah, we're putting him back in January. And it's just the idea of...
That is the worst news story.
Just commercialising this poor fucking beast suffering.
You think there was some guy showing up to the protest who went, I want free pizza. Yeah.
Is that not what we're doing? Shit.
Yeah, the worst bit's going to be when this little blonde girl goes in the pizza. It's like, guys, there's no part, just fish.
Hashtag free pizza.
Yeah. Hashtag not all polar bears. Hashtag literally all polar bears. So ladies and gents, that is us done for another week. Sarah Bonetta, where can people find you and what sort of things will you be doing when they get there?
You can find me on Twitter at Sarah Bonetta, and when people find me there, I will be doing pictures of my lunch and cafe lattes and tweeting about my shows and other such things. Sometimes I get a little tipsy late at night and I proposition everybody on the internet as one amorphous group. No, follow me, catch up with my stand-up gigs. Sometimes I gig with Ben, either he at my project or me at his. If you want a bit of Bonetto and Vanderbilt action, double your fun. But Storytellers Club at StoryClub, CLB, on Twitter. Or just follow me. I'll chat. I just respond.
And there'll be more during the year. There'll be more coming in the year anyway.
Maybe. Depends on what I want to do. I'm around. I'm gigging, doing solo stand-up everywhere. But you'll find me. Yeah.
Excellent. If you look, you will find it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all off to smother some goats in our pockets.
Do you have a bed I can lie on? I just need to see if there's any peas underneath.
I do, but sadly there's a pin on the pillow. And a millstone over the door before you go in.
I knew it. Do you have any eggs that can roll up and glue my eyes together?
Lots of sexy wolves on the way.
Oh, I mean.
Until next time.
And they all lived happily ever after.
So that was Sarah Bonetto. Thank you very much, Sarah, for doing the show. If you enjoyed that and you want to see more of her or hear more of her, you won't have seen her. I realise that podcasting is an audio medium. But if you want to see her live, her Storytellers Club is going to be at the... no, I can't pronounce this word.
McCuntleth.
The McCuntleth Festival.
It's absolutely not spelt like it's spoken because it's in Wales, but it's definitely pronounced McCuntleth. And I'm too much of a child not to enjoy that.
That is the 30th of April, so you can buy tickets for that at the McCuntleth Festival website.
And if you don't know where it is, it's literally through Wales and out the other side.
Yes, and check out Sarah on Twitter. She was great. We had a lovely time recording that episode. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, the usual stuff. You should probably be able to recite all this by now if you've been following from the start. But if you haven't, we're on Twitter, at WorstFoot. Ben is also on Twitter.
At Ben Vanderveld.
And I'm at Baz Maxtay.
And also, if you can recite this like some weird cult member, I don't know if I'm extra grateful to you for listening to us or not. Most important for us is if you enjoy the podcast, please pop on iTunes or Stitcher, give us a 5-star review, write no more than 300 words about why you like us, and you too could win a free box of Frosties.
And the other great thing you can do is recommend us to a friend or an enemy or someone you've never met, because the more people who listen to this, the bigger our egos can go.
Our guest next week is Jim Smallman. I think that this was the longest record we did.
I think we did nearly 2 hours.
Yeah. Jim's like terrific fun, and once he starts talking, he will not stop. We did his own area of expertise, which is the world's worst professional wrestler.
And as it is in the run-up to WrestleMania 2017, I'm sure you're all really as excited about that as I am.
Don't underplay it. WrestleMania is so much fun. It's not as good as the Survivor Series or Royal Rumble. So speaks 14-year-old Ben, but it's great
I have
fun.
To say, this was one of those episodes where I had a lovely time trying to figure out how much research I wanted to do into it, because that is a seriously deep rabbit hole.
Yeah, which is a really strange submission move.
So yeah, see you next week, and thank you very much for listening.